If we as a church, if we will all embrace and obey the verses that I'm going to teach this morning, loved one, you will be right after the very heart of God. And there's not a better place to be. Amen?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in for our Friday broadcast. Pastor Bill continues his series from the New Testament Epistle of Romans today with the message entitled, The Debt We Owe. Let's listen in.
Amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning in the New Testament book of Romans. We're in chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Now, we've been doing an in-depth study, if you're visiting with us and just now joined us. We've been going in-depth through the book of Romans on Sunday morning. And remember, guys, that we have presented ourselves as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Amen? Not only that, we know that we're not being conformed to this world, but we're being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And we're not the type of church or the type of Christian that is inactive in the body of Christ, but we're very active in the body of Christ because a transformed life always leads to transformed living. Now, with all that being said, last Sunday, remember in chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, we talked about the believer's submission to the government and also about obeying the laws of the land. Now, when we get in the scriptures this morning, only 8 through 10 we're going to cover, we're going to talk about the highest law in all of the universe, and that is the law of God's love working in our hearts. Amen? Very important. Let me read our text here, if you don't mind. Look at verse 8 with me. It says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery and murder or steal or covet, bear false witness. And if there's any other commandment, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Say that with me. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. You know, have you ever really tried to define or to measure God's love for you? It's amazing to study that out in Scripture. You see, people say, well, God's supposed to love me. No, God is love. That's who He is. Amen? God is love. Everything He does in love. And I was thinking about how can I define it more than just a theological definition, but maybe something from the hand of a poet or a hand of someone who has written a hymn. And, you know, Thursday, as we did Eleanor's memorial service here, there was a song that we were all singing, a hymn. And the words so touched my heart, and it's been a long time since I actually have heard that song or that hymn. Let me share a few verses with you, just to show you the measure or how to measure God's love. It says, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star, reaches to the lowest hell. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." Boy, that is a great description of the love of God. Amen? You know, I want to tell you about these verses we're going to cover this morning. If this church, which this is our foundational scriptures we're going to be covering, basically, who we are, why we exist as a church, our vision statement, in a sense. If we as a church, if we will all embrace and obey the verses that I'm going to teach this morning, loved one, you will be right after the very heart of God. And there's not a better place to be. Amen? So let's look this morning about the debt that we owe to everyone, not just ourselves, but let's begin in verse 8. It says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law." First of all, let me say this. When it says for us not to owe anyone, it's not talking about here in this context, don't ever go in debt, don't ever have a house mortgage or a car payment. That's not what this is referring to at all. Here it says we don't owe anyone anything, but we do owe other people a great deal. We owe one another a great deal. In other words, the debt we owe to one another is to love one another. Amen? No, not that, you know, that yummy, I got love in my tummy sissy stuff. I'm talking about really caring for one another, really loving one another. Amen? That's who we are. That's what a Christian does. I have a permanent obligation to you, and you have a permanent obligation to me. You're to love me, I'm to love you. Whenever you're hurting, I'm hurting. Whenever you're rejoicing, I'm rejoicing. Amen? Love never fails. It bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love is the genuine earmark of a believer, without which they can be questioned. Now, in other words, to love one another is the true litmus test of what it means to be a believer in Christ. I want to give you some scriptures this morning from 1 John, but let me just read one of them here about if we're a believer or not. It says in 1 John 4:7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Knows God. That doesn't mean that know a bunch of facts about God. It doesn't mean I know the Bible backwards and forwards. It doesn't mean that. It means that you have an ongoing living relationship with the Lord. Amen? It says, so let me read it now. "So everyone who loves is born of God," you're born again, "and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Now, we are not perfect, but our position in Christ is. Amen? And I know that we are walking out our position. However, loved one, listen. Right here, it says that if we don't have an habitual lifestyle of loving one another, the debt that we owe one another, you know, it tells us that we may not have a relationship with God. See, that defines really who we are. And if we don't develop this relationship, then we have a problem. Now, Jonathan Swift said this, the author of Gulliver's Travels. He said, "We have just enough religion to make us hate, but not enough to make us love one another. Let that not be said of us." Amen? And then it says, "For he who loves another," believers, when we love one another, "we have fulfilled the law." Isn't that amazing that love truly fulfills the law? That's what the whole Bible is about the love of God. I encourage every believer at Calvary Chapel, please read 1 John often. It's only 5 chapters. Read it often. Get it into your heart. Because if you will really read 1 John, remember who wrote it? John, the apostle of love, that's right. You know what he did? He said, if you'll read it out, there's absolutely no substitute, there's no replacement, there's no alternate to that of love. It's the only thing that a Christian is called. Now listen, 1 John 3:10, he writes and he says, "He who does not love his brother is not of God." Well, that's a challenge, isn't it? You know, we all the things that happens in the church today. You know, I was reading a book not too long ago by David Jeremiah. Listen to what he said about love. He said, "Loving one another is not a discipline reserved for advanced Christians or a gift belonging to the naturally tolerant people. It's not an option or an extra or a frilly wrapping to make religion more attractive. Love is the heartbeat of our faith. And if we detect no pulse," he said, "there is no faith." What a word. 1 John 3:23, let me read this one to you from John. He says, "And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ," and here it comes, "and love one another as he gave us commandment." So if we don't love one another, there's really not a true belief in Christ. Did you know that this love that we have in our hearts, does it destroy people? No, it shouldn't. Does it gossip about people? Does it cut other people down? Does it look down upon people? No, never. Does God love everybody? Absolutely, loved one. Listen, God's love, he cares. What did Jesus do in the upper room? Hours away from his crucifixion. You know this scripture by heart because it's one of the foundational scriptures of this church. In John 13, 34 through 35, what did Jesus say? He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." Now, again, as I always say, that's not the new part because Leviticus 19, 18 commanded the Jews to love one another. The new part is when Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." And here it comes, "As I have loved you to the same degree, just like I cared for you, just like I was with you all this time. I loved you every minute." The Bible says in John 13, the very first, it says that Jesus, when he knew his hour had come, he loved them to the uttermost. Jesus loves us to the uttermost. God's love never, ever fails. I look and I say, "Oh God, you're so good." And then he goes on and he says, Jesus said, he says, "And by this, you're loving one another as I have loved you," the exact same way. He says, "By this, all will know that you are my what? Disciples." He didn't say all will know, but if you carry a big black King James Bible, or if you wear a blue suit or a white suit, or don't wear a suit to church. Did he? No. He said the ingredient is love. He said, "Oh, listen, by this, all will know." Who is the all? It means those who are on the outside. It means those who come into this fellowship who may be visiting or whatnot, and they see how we love one another. Or the hurting out there, and so forth. Listen, if you don't love one another, the world knows it. That's why most of the world is so, especially in America, so critical of the church. Listen, love is more than a command. Love is the proof that we really are born from above. Did you know that? The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's exactly right. Now listen, here's the deal. Jesus said to them, he said, "By this all will know," meaning those outside that are not born again. He said, "They're going to know whether you're my disciples if you love one another as I've loved you." That means when they look at us, they have the right to judge us, doesn't it? And they're going, "Whoa, that's a cold church. That must be the church of the frozen chosen or something, you know. Or look how they treat one another. Look how they lie about one another. Look how they gossip about one another. Look how they sow discord. Who wants to be a part of that? I don't." But oh, to be a part of a church that truly cares one for another, that truly loves one another. Listen, Jesus did not command us in Scripture, "Okay, here's a new commandment I give unto you. Please put up with one another. This side, you got it. I don't know about that side." Do you understand what I mean? He didn't do that. No, listen. He said, "Listen, you are commanded, but you're also empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to love one another. I've given you everything that you need." Remember what the Bible tells us about God's love? It says in Romans 5:5, it says, "And the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts." That word means poured out lavishly. Shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. We have God's love not poured out in a little tiny drop or a little bitty measure. It is lavishly, it has been poured out in our hearts. Unless it gets outside of us to others, no one will ever know. Amen? That's how important that is. Listen, a Christian can be very right in their believing, but very wrong in the way or in their living, the way they live. Let me read 1 John 4:11. It says, "Beloved, if God so loved us," meaning he sent Jesus to die upon the cross for us, "if God so loved us, we also ought," or literally, "we must love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us," or brought to its proper conclusion or proper end. It says, "And by this we know that we abide in him, and he in us," here it comes, "because he has given unto us his Spirit." And again, the fruit of the Spirit is love. No one has seen God at any time. The unbelievers, they don't say, "Well, there's God, I see him," or Jesus. But you know where they find how they see Jesus today? They see it through the hands, the eyes, the arms, the body of Christ. Amen? They see it through the actions of us. When they see us loving one another, caring one for, not gossiping, not hurting one another, they go, there's something different about this bunch. You bet there is. Because the love of God is residing in our heart. I think the world is tired of us saying, Jesus loves you. Come on. Oh, and that's it. As far as it goes. Jesus loves you. He died for your sins. And we should say that. But you know what they really want? Show us the love. You've seen the movie, Show Me the Money. This side has. I only saw the commercial. Yeah, I didn't watch that. No. No, listen. You know, they want to show me the love. What's the Bible say? 1 John 2:6. He who says that he abides in him, meaning in Jesus, ought to walk just as he walked. Did Jesus love people? He loved everyone. Oh, listen, the Bible says, listen here carefully, in 1 John 3:14, it says, we know that we have passed from death to life. Why? Because we love the brethren. Listen, loving our brothers and sisters is supernatural proof and evidence that we're no longer abiding in death, but we're abiding in supernatural life, that we're born again. So the habitual lifestyle of a believer is love. And if it's not, listen to what John says, he who does not love his brother abides in death. Death is the absence of God's love operating in us. Abides in death. John goes later and says, if you don't love your brother, you abide in darkness. Listen to 1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God, hates his brother, he is a liar, meaning he doesn't really love God or know God. It says, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen? And this commandment we have received from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Loving one another. What is 1 John 5:3? It says, this is love for God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not heavy. They're not burdensome. They're not going to weigh you down. His yoke is light. It's easy. Listen, how do we demonstrate our true love for one another and our true love for God? Well, keeping his commandments, yes, but listen, so that tells us something. It's more for a believer. In other words, we demonstrate love for God, not by just, oh, Father, I love you, and we should say that, but we by doing what God says for us to do. Not just a hearer, but a doer of God's word. That's what we're called to do. You know, the Bible tells us in Corinthians, it says, now abideth these, faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest, if you want something, that's the greatest thing a Christian can have. It's wonderful if you have any of the gifts of the Spirit, wonderful. But the gifts operate by love. That's why, if you'll notice in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, the gifts, and then chapter 14 are the gifts, what does God place right in the middle of that? Chapter 13, all about love. Listen, Colossians 3:14, I believe it is. It says, above all, above everything else in your life, put on love, the agape of God, which is the bond of perfection. Go through your Bibles and do a study. Faith worketh by love. Amen? It says that we're to be rooted and grounded in love. It says that we're to speak the truth in love. It says that we're to walk in love, even just like Jesus himself, as he walked. That's what we are commanded to do. When we do that, look what happens. Look back now at verse 9. It says, for the commandments, you don't commit adultery or murder or steal, don't lie, bear false witness, in other words, don't covet. If there's any other commandment, they're all summed up, every one of them, in this saying, namely, you shall love your what? Neighbor as yourself. Now, first of all, listen, we have a debt one to another. We're obligated. We're to love one another because we're new creations. We're born again. But we also have an obligation to those outside the body of Christ. We are to love them. We have a debt that we owe them. You know, and a lot of people say, no, Bill, that's not the way it works. Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Tell me one person in the world right this moment, that God doesn't want to save if they're not saved. Anybody know? Is there one out there? No. Tell me one person in the world right this second that God says, I don't love that person. It doesn't work that way. Amen? See, if you can name that one person, then you know what? I'm not going to love him either then. If God doesn't love him, why should I love him? No, see, God is love. You know, the thing is to not to love someone, our neighbor, whatever, that Jesus died for, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, to not love those who Jesus died for, the person out there right now, the down the street, shooting up, getting drunk, getting high, whatever they're doing wrong, to demonstrate love to them because you want to see them saved. For us not to love those people that Jesus died for is to exalt self above God. Man, we never want to be guilty of that. Listen, the new birth and the Holy Spirit does not produce loveless believers. It doesn't do that. When you're born again, God's love has been deposited in your hearts. And love for others will never happen unless you're dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God. You need the Holy Spirit of God. And if you have stopped loving other people, or if I have stopped loving other people, then I know that I've quenched the Holy Spirit of God, and I need to repent. Now, look at verse 10 with me again. Love does no harm. In other words, love doesn't hurt anybody. Love does no harm to a what? Neighbor. A neighbor means those who are near you. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Let me give you two more scriptures with this. James 2:8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, which is the great commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. Paul writes to the Galatians in Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled, brought to perfection in one word, even in this. Ye shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Paul says, okay, here's the deal. I'm going to warn you. He told the church of Galatia, if you don't love one another, then you know what you're going to do? You're going to start doing the very opposite. You're going to start devouring one another. Now listen to me. I speak this in not a judgmental tone. I love people. I care for people. But I do get upset when I run into Christians that are mean, that are legalistic, that cut down lost people or cut down anyone in the church. Do you understand? That hurts me. It breaks my heart because you know what? Jesus has never said one bad thing about me. Did you know that? Other people have, but not him. He loves me. He loved me so much, he died for me. He took my place. So, man, when you find, you know, unloving or critical Christians, you know what happens? They keep unbelievers really from wanting. I'm not going to church on Easter. I'm not going to church with you on Christmas. I don't want to set foot in a church. You're just a bunch of hypocrites. I know the way you treat each other. You follow me. Come on. Yes. Oh, no. The highest authority in all of the universe says, I want you to walk in love. And if you live by any other law, then you find yourself, you're going to end up breaking the law. You see, the agape of God, that word love that we're talking about this morning, it treats other people like God would treat them. It never asks anything in return. It's unconditional love. It's not based upon anything that they do or have not done or any kind of performance and so forth. And there's times that we can all say, well, I'm not very fond of my neighbor. The first service wasn't religious, okay? No, listen. You might work in a cubicle. Your neighbor, the word neighbor means the one who is near you. And you know what? You may not like him. He may not like you, or she may not, whatever. And you know, you say, oh, if I could just move away. God says, I want you to love that person. They need you to love them. I'm in you. Now you do what I would do. You go over there and help them and love them. Pray for them. Pray for those who hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you, speak all manner of evil against you. Amen. Do good to them. That means love them. And that's what we've been called to do. Well, I still don't like my neighbor, Bill. I don't like his dog or his wife or anything. I don't even like his car. Listen, I'm going to tell you how I got over that in my life. Whenever you realize when Jesus was in the garden right before he was to be betrayed and crucified, it said that as he was praying, that he sweated like blood was coming. Who was that for? It was for your neighbor. You understand? It was for your neighbor. You know, whenever the Roman soldiers blindfolded our Lord and started hitting him in the face viciously and said, prophesy unto us, who smote thee? Jesus took those blows for your neighbor. and us. Amen. Are you listening to me?
Well, that's all of our time for today and for this week. But please tune in on Monday when Pastor Bill will conclude today's message. And in the meantime, we pray you have a safe and restful weekend. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.